Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, listeners. I am Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life, and you are here with us on another amazing Motivational Monday to tune in for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. We are so pleased to have you join us each and every Monday from 5:30 until 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Of course, if you're on the East Coast, it's 6:30 your time. West Coast, it should be about 4:30. We are so pleased to have our very special guest with us, and I will be introducing her momentarily. But for you first-time listeners, I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule today to tune in and listen to the show. We are so honored and pleased to have you join us. Each and every week, we do our very best to bring you the most current news, information, and bring you social issues that are important and relevant to you. So no matter where you are in the country, I am certain that this broadcast will have something that you can take with you, something that you can share with your listening audience, those that, whom you share your responsibility for, and it may be something here that is mentioned that is especially helpful for you. So we are, again, just so pleased to have you join us. I'm Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life, and our mission is to stop domestic violence. We help stabilize victims, and we do this through a series of projects, programs, and initiatives that we host throughout the year. And, of course, at the bottom of the hour or the top of the hour, whichever you choose to say, I will talk a little bit more about some things that we have coming up or that we're currently working on with Walking Into a New Life. So that'll be in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the show. But for now, we are so delighted to have with us Melissa Holmes. Melissa Holmes is a 2-time domestic violence survivor turned advocate 6 years ago. And I am going to allow her to come to you in her own way to tell you more about who she is and what she does. But I will tell you that she is someone I've been following for some time now, actually on LinkedIn. So while we have not officially met in person, we have met and shared kindred spirit in our mission and our dedication to empowering others to succeed in life. I will say that she is also the executive director of a nonprofit organization called Love Shouldn't Hurt, NY Incorporated. So New York is in the house with us today. And without further ado, let me introduce to you all our very special guest, Ms. Melissa Holmes. Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I am well. How about yourself?
I'm good. No complaints.
Well, Melissa, I'm just going to turn it over to you for the next few minutes. Please share with our audience a little bit about yourself. And once you've done that, go right into telling us about Love Shouldn't Hurt.
Absolutely. Well, I think you covered the basic in your introduction. I'm a 2-time domestic violence survivor. These were 2 consecutive relationships. The first abuser was my husband, who I had married. We dated for about 5.5 years, and then we decided to get married. He had never displayed any signs of being an abuser, an aggressor while we were dating. The moment it became legal and I said, I do, something changed, and I wasn't sure what had happened. Long story short, that relationship, the marriage, I would say, lasted for about 5 years because then he died in 2003. After he died, I figured, okay, I had my life back. I had a chance to, you know, get myself together and move on from this. And I stayed single for about 3.5 years. The next relationship I decided to give a chance was another abusive relationship. That relationship was actually 20 times as worse as my husband's. That one was, it was verbal, very mental. It became extremely physical. He had hit me in the street 1 year before my birthday and fractured my nose. So that one was really, really devastating. That one, both of them, I would say I cheated death twice. The day that my husband died was actually supposed to have been my day of death. He had called me and told me that was going to be my day when I walked out of work that evening, but then I ended up getting a phone call. The second abuser actually choked me while sitting on the toilet within 10 seconds of me losing consciousness. And that was a wake-up call for me right there, that either one or two things were going to happen. Either he was going to kill me or I was going to hurt him. And I felt like I had too much to lose. And at that point, you know, I still didn't say anything. These were relationships that I didn't, you know, family members knew that I was in these relationships, but they didn't know what were going on behind closed doors. You know, it was one of those things that, you know, when you grow up, I guess, I don't want to say a black family or a southern family, and I guess, you know, at some point maybe it's not a cultural thing. I guess it was just what my mom was taught. But she had always taught us that whatever happens in your house stays in your house, meaning the sister upstairs and the brother next door, nobody is supposed to know. So for that reason alone is why I never said that things were going on in these relationships. And because of that, I almost died twice and took those secrets with me.
Wow. And, you know, that's very interesting that you shared that. We talk about this often on this show, specifically with those who are surviving and thriving and have truly moved on with their lives. Common thread is that a lot of times the family members know or friends know, but specifically family members. But we've taught this thing of what goes on in the house stays in the house. And I feel like that's a huge part of why the cycle continues, because people are afraid to speak up. And the thing is that a lot of times, even when the family knows and they tell you that what goes on in the house stays in the house, when they're doing it, even if you did start to speak up and speak out about what's going on with, because it's such a normality, it's not viewed as it being that bad. You just find a way to deal with it. And that's something
Absolutely.
That I'm really hoping, you know, that as time goes on, organizations like mine, like yours, and so many around the country really tap into that, because it's not normal. And that's a good segue into your nonprofit's name, Love Shouldn't Hurt, NY Incorporated. So this is a good segue for us to lead into. Tell us about Love Shouldn't Hurt.
Absolutely. I started Love Shouldn't Hurt after surviving the last abusive relationship. After leaving, I was actually living in Baltimore, and I had fled back to New York with my son. And, you know, I was sitting and I was thinking, you know, we have so many unanswered questions, and, you know, we come down on ourselves really hard because we can't figure out where we went wrong, you know, what happened. You know, it's just you're angry that you allowed these things to happen to you. And I was sitting and I was saying to myself, you know, I've been through this twice and I've made it out twice. And I had decided at that moment I was going to do something. I was going to, at that moment, dedicate my life to helping others that were like me, but afraid to come forth and speak about it for being embarrassed or whatever. So I decided that I would start this organization. Actually, it started out as a Facebook group. And it was just supposed to be this group, almost like a diary, for me just to go in and vent and just scream and just curse and release some tension. And then after a couple of days, I decided to open this group up. And then I went from, like, maybe 30 members to, like, over 1,000 members, like, almost overnight.
That's incredible.
Where people were,
that's
like,
definitely
requesting to get in. And I was like, wow. So I, you know, I kept the Facebook group going for several years, you know, to just get my name out there and to do. And there were a lot of people that were requesting to get in. The great part about that is that it wasn't just for women. The group is actually for men also, because also I'm aware, although I was abused by men, I was aware that they were also being abused. So I didn't want to
Absolutely.
Discriminate against them. I wanted to bring them in because I found that there will probably be, they might actually be that missing puzzle to the link that would help figure out this whole dynamic of why this is even happening. And so,
sure.
like I said, I did this for a couple of years, and then I decided to, like, make this my brand. And I decided that, okay, this is what I wanted to do. I'm going to make this my brand. And I was getting such great feedback from the group that I decided to just step out on faith and do some other things. So I decided to put myself out there, and I decided to, you know, get tapped into all this other social media things that I wasn't even aware of. So I had to start to get the feel of what it was about. So I started to, you know, just put myself out there. I introduced myself to some of the shelters and told them what it is that I was trying to do. I started collecting clothes and just taking it to the battered woman's shelter. And then just one thing started to lead to another. Then I started to get exposure. Then people started requesting that I would come and speak. And then just one thing, and then it just had this dominoes effect.
And it is working. It is working. It certainly has gotten my attention as well as others. I know if nowhere else but LinkedIn, I know it has. Because I know that's how I found you. So I'm just pleased that we have made this connection and we truly have kindred spirits. You know, I don't know whether you say fortunately or unfortunately, but I'm going to go with unfortunately. Unfortunately, our stories are pretty similar. There's a lot of similarities in our story.
Wow.
And I say unfortunately because I truly feel that no one should ever go through abuse in any shape, form, or fashion. So that's the unfortunate part. But the fortunate part, I will say, is that we are both here. We're both alive. We are both sharing our stories, and we are doing it unashamed. We are shouting it from the rooftops that love shouldn't hurt, that we can walk into a new life, that we can be happy and holistically healthy. We can heal. And even some of the things that you are doing when you talk about collecting clothes for the shelters and things of that nature, that's a lot of what you describe is a lot of how I started into all of this as well. And one of my signatures has actually become our Pamper and Support Day that we host once a quarter for victims, survivors, and for advocates of abuse. And the other component that you mentioned is about the men, and I'm so, so glad that you shared that. People that know me really well and those who have followed Walking Into a New Life know that the male component is very important to me because, like you, I've gone through two abusive relationships. One was longer than the other, and the second one was worse. That's why I said I could really, really relate to what you were saying. And then you start questioning yourself and the decisions that you've made. But I always felt like men are part of the problem, but they're also part of the solution. So they have to be brought to the table. And they are also being victimized as well. And that should never be downplayed either. So I'm just so,
Absolutely.
So glad that you shared the things that you have with us. And I saw some other people pop up, so let me, and I saw some different numbers and some new names. So for those of you who are tuning in for the very first time, I'm Joyce Kyle, the Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. Thank you so much for joining Boots on the Ground. This is a show that we host every Monday. I am so honored and proud to do this. This is a way for me as an organization and me personally to be able to express and have others to self-express about who they are, what they're doing, and how they're doing. So we've discussed everything here from self-care to domestic violence, sexual assault, human trafficking. We talk about poverty. We talk about cancer, reproductive justice, economic empowerment. So lots of different avenues that we discuss on this show, and I'm so pleased that we have Melissa Holmes out of New York to be our guest this week on the show, because we are wanting to show people around the country that, yes, domestic violence and other social issues that I previously mentioned, they do exist. but there are people who are fighting the good fight with their ear to the ground, boots on the ground, and doing this work, and they're making a difference. Melissa's definitely making a difference. And I want to share, if I can, just for a moment, Melissa, that you are being honored in October. So if you would share with everyone about your upcoming award in October and what it means.
Absolutely. I'm so excited. It is such an honor to, it's a masquerade gala where they, you know, there is, I believe, maybe 8 honorees of different people from different places, you know, that they're honoring. And so when they reached out to me, I was excited. So I will be accepting the Shiro Award, which I think is so amazing that anybody would think that I was a Shiro. You know, I didn't think of that of myself a couple of years ago, but now I own it. But to hear someone else to say to me, listen, you got this, it's amazing. So as it's getting closer to the time, I'm getting really, really excited about going to Atlanta to accept this award. I think out of all the awards that I have accepted, except the one that I just received, I received a citation actually the beginning of August, which means the world right now. You know, I've received so many. They all have different meanings, and I think this is the first one that I have that I will be receiving out of state. So that holds
amazing.
A place of its own.
And that was one of the reasons, outside of just, you know, publicly saying congratulations to you, and that it is actually called the Shiro Award, and that gala is taking place in Atlanta. And I think that is relevant to share that because it speaks to what I said at the top of the show, that people recognize the work that you're doing, and not just right there in the local, your local community. You're doing good work that is being recognized nationally. And that is no small feat. That's nothing to take lightly. You know, bask in it. You are definitely a Shiro. You are a survivor. You know, you are doing the work, and you're sharing that gift that you have and that spirit of survival with others, and it's being recognized. So to have it being recognized out of state is even more of an honor. So congratulations to you.
Thank you so much.
Well, now, Melissa, let me ask you this, since we did talk about that and some of the things that you do enjoy, I have a two-part question for you. One, I'd like to know what you have found to be the most gratifying about what you do, and then the other side of it, what have you found to be the most disheartening?
The most gratifying is to help an individual. When you can understand, you can relate to what someone is going through, I think when you have that connection, when you've actually lived it and you know what someone is going through, it just makes it much more gratifying when you can help that person out of a situation that they're in, because you understand that it is not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse over time. So I think the fact that when I can help individuals understand the importance of getting away from an abuser, and once you get away, you need to stay away, that is most gratifying to me. That when they leave and they, you know, they reach back out and they say, well, listen, I haven't gone back. I have this one girl that I helped a couple of years ago when I first started this organization. And she was in Boston, and she reached out to me. And she says to me that she was being abused and she didn't have the money to get back, and she was living in, her family was in here in Connecticut. And I didn't know her, but I took a chance on her. And she used to call me every single night, and this night she called. I told her, call me tomorrow morning. I'm going to wire you some money. Out of my own funds, I wired her some money so that she can get the bus from Boston that afternoon and get back to her family here in Connecticut. And she calls me every so often, and she leaves little messages every so often on my page. And anytime I'm doing something or whatever, she's always supporting. She's letting me know. And she always say, "You're my guardian angel." Like, I don't know where I would I don't know what would have happened to me if you didn't send me that money for me to get back. She's never been back to Boston.
Wow.
And she kept it pushing. Once she got here to Connecticut, to her family where she was safe, she never looked back. And that to me speaks volumes.
Yes.
That's most
yes,
gratifying.
Absolutely.
The most disheartening thing is the abuse. The abuse in so many levels. You see abuse in so many different levels. Everybody has a story to tell, and everybody's situation is different. And, you know, I hear people say, "Oh, well, I hear such and such and such story, and they, oh, my God, it's just so bad." And they really don't want to say anything because they think their story is not as bad as someone else's. But
right.
When you hear some of the stories, just the fact of an individual, some of the things that these men do or what they have done to some of the women that I've come across, it still gets to me. Sometimes I have to, I guess you would say, detox, and I'll have to disconnect for a while so that I can detox from the situation, because you have to understand, in this business, you still have your load that you're carrying. Where you get out all those
Absolutely.
Speaking gives me, you know, all those speaking is therapeutic, but you still have that load of what happened to you. And then when you come in contact with somebody that needs your help and they need this, you just add it on. So sometimes I have to disconnect, but that's the most disheartening for me is just the abuse. You know, sometimes you just want to say, okay, just like no more. And just wish it would be over, or you could snap your fingers and there's no more abuse. But it doesn't work like
and
that.
And for those, no, it does not. And I'm so glad that you shared what you did about, you know, sometimes you just have to step away because you can become so engulfed in what's going on that you forget or lose sight of the fact that you're a survivor too and that it's still a process and an ongoing matter for you as well. Now, you may not be at the beginning stages of it, and speaking and writing and training and those types of things are all-inclusive in helping you. But at the same time, we as advocates, we as activists, we still have to find ways to make sure that we're practicing the self-care and let people pour into us so that we can stay rejuvenated and be able to continue to do the good work that we set out to do. So I'm glad that you're doing that. I'm glad to hear you say that. I hope that those who are listening really take that in and take it to heart. And as we are getting down to our last few minutes, what I would like for you to do, Melissa, is to share with the listening audience how they can get in touch with you and how we can best support you.
Absolutely. Well, I'm all over social media. That means Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. It's either Melissa Holmes or it's Love Shouldn't Hurt NY. Type in either or, you'll definitely find me. How you can support, I am now currently working on a documentary that will be called The Invisible Scars of Domestic Violence. And, funding is still needed. You know, to make sure that everything we cover, our I's and dot all our T's with, you know, this documentary. So although we started the documentary, you know, there's some things that comes up unexpectedly that's needed. So, you know, I'm still trying to get funding for the documentary. There's a Plum Fund up for the documentary that'll still be up for the next 7 days. The Plum Fund has been running now since March. So it'll be up for another 7 days, and then it won't be available anymore. So these last 7 days, I'm trying to raise as much funds as I can for the documentary. There are some events that's coming up that I partner with another organization called Eve's Roses, which also deals with child sexual abuse. And so we have this event that's coming up that we partnered up on for September 10th, and it's called Thy Queendom Come.
Oh,
and
I like
so,
that. I like that.
Yeah. So we're looking to honor a couple of women that have, you know, stood up and owned their queendom. And so we're looking for, you know, with her doing sexual abuse and me domestic violence, we thought it would be a good fit. We would come together because we cover all the bases, we figured. And so we're just looking to, you know, if tickets are still on sale, they can find the link on my page if they want to purchase tickets and come out and support. Even if they can't come out and support, if they would like to purchase a ticket and give to somebody that is not as fortunate, you know, may not have the funds to do so, that's fine too. The event is it's a brunch. So I believe it's from like 12 to 5. You know, it'll be in Brooklyn. So, I mean, a lot of support is needed. I think that's what we're lacking in the community is the support. So we definitely need to get out and support and support, support. You know, the strength in numbers. We can't do this by ourselves. We can't put an end to either sexual assault or domestic violence if we don't have the support to do so.
That's it. And I couldn't wrap that up any better. Melissa, thank you so very much for being a guest on the show. Melissa Holmes, you're a beautiful, beautiful spirit. I look forward to connecting with you further on some other things that are related to our common interests. I want to thank everyone who has tuned in to listen to this broadcast, as you have done each and every week. And, of course, if this is your first time, we hope that you come back. I really hope that you take to heart some of the things that Ms. Holmes shared with us today on this broadcast and that you will find ways to support. She's giving you several. She has several good things that are coming up, which needs your financial as well as your emotional support. And again, if you aren't in the area and you can't make it to the event, then sow a seed so that someone else who is closer is able to participate. I talk about that a lot on this show. People have this assumption that once you own a nonprofit, then just money just comes out and just falls out of the sky, and people are just so ready to support and to give. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work that goes into this. So I am just so pleased to have had Ms. Holmes on the show with us. I am so grateful for each and every person that comes in and listens each week, and not only listening today, but you share it and you listen to the replays. You're getting the information. We will be sharing Melissa's information on our social media platforms as well. So if you came in late, you know, go back and listen to the replay. We're going to have all of her information on our platforms, and, of course, you can find them on hers. Connect with Melissa Holmes. Connect with Love Shouldn't Hurt, NYINC. That's Love Shouldn't Hurt, NYINC. Last points I want to leave with you all is that walking into a new life, we again want to thank all of you for the cell phones, the chargers, the batteries, all those accessories that you've given to us. It's being shipped out to Verizon Wireless Hope Line organization. Those cell phones and chargers are being used, they're being cleaned, refurbished, and reprogrammed and given to victims and survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. So we are so pleased about that. Right now we are asking people to participate in our very, very brief survey. I promise you it will take you 2 minutes at the very most. If you'd like for us to email you the survey, our email is info@wial.org. Again, that's info@wial.org. We can be reached at 901-466-6182. Again, it's 901-466-6182. Of course, our website is wian.org. And if you or someone you know is going through domestic violence and is in need of help, you can always call the National Hotline at 800-799-7233. Again, it's 800-799-7233. Locally, call your local precinct, and as always, you can call 911. Again, I am Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life, and this has been another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. Thank you so much for tuning in. We look forward to having you join us again next week.